From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Ann Schmidt of the Peoria Riverfront Museum. She's here to tell us more about their new exhibit, Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. Ann, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jen, and thank you, Nate. Always great to be here.
Yeah. Now, Titanic remains a fascinating part of history that for over a century people have been really drawn to, in part because of the tragedy of it and whatnot. Can you tell us how this exhibit engages people with the story in a new and different way?
Well, first, I'd like to talk a little bit about why we are so fascinated by it. What has kept the story of the Titanic in the public eye for more than 100 years? Well, right off the bat, of course, it was a tremendous tragedy when it happened. But less than a month after the Titanic sank, the first movie about the Titanic came out. One of the passengers on the ship was a well-known actress at the time, and her movie studio made her make a movie, a silent movie, just about 11 minutes long, about the tragedy. She had to wear the clothing that she had on the night of the tragedy, and it came out black and white, talkie. And I think after that, she never acted again. Mm. Numerous movies came out. And then, of course, in 1955, A Night to Remember was published. And then in 1958, a movie. And that really brought it back into the public eye. Not that it really sank much, excuse the pun. But really, it kept fascinating people. And then, of course, James Cameron, Titanic, and the rest is... It just continues to fascinate people, not just the tragedy aspect, but the romance of traveling in such luxury, the idea that people lost their innocence really at that time. We lost our blind faith in technology. So how does this exhibit bring the story of the Titanic to people in a new way? Well, it really isn't that new of a way. This exhibit has been traveling for a long time. I've seen it in four different museums myself. But the lure is just undying. People love this story. And the way it tells it is taking you through the construction of the Titanic in the first gallery with artifacts from that aspect of it. And then looking at the way the passengers lived for that short time on the Titanic by showing you things from first class, second class, third class, and then things that passengers had in their suitcases helps to build the story of what these people were doing, how they were feeling, and then you see their cabins, and then it takes you into the actual tragedy.
You know, this story is one that it feels like we all know because it's in the history books. It's been portrayed in movies. There's even been a Broadway musical. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, what don't we know that comes out of your exhibit? Or what did you learn about the historical event in the process of curating the exhibit?
I learned a lot about the passengers who were on the Titanic. And the exhibit does a great job of highlighting those passengers. And when you check in at the museum, you get a boarding pass for one particular passenger. And there are hundreds of boarding passes there. I was really surprised at how complete they were. There are just two really strong ties between Peoria and the Titanic, two passengers, and they are both represented in possible boarding passes that you might get. And then the exhibit itself has text panels talking about some of these passengers, and at the end, you find out after looking at your boarding pass and learning the story of this person, what their fate was.
You had mentioned in the first gallery, it focuses on the construction and the engineering of the ship and having some of those artifacts. And it seems as you go through, there is this theme of man versus nature. It was supposed to be the unsinkable ship. And then we experience the tragedy as you go through the exhibit. And at the end, it focuses on how the ship is still eroding and still being subjective to nature. Can you talk a little bit about that part?
Yes. In the Discovery Gallery, They have large photographs of different salvage operations with the Titanic, and two of them are fairly recent, where they brought up a piece they refer to as the big piece. It's a fairly large section of the hull, 15 tons of the hull. And the artifacts in that area are arranged low to the ground, so you get that sense of being above them and looking at them in situ. In fact, there's a group of dishes that is arranged in sand, and they show a photograph that explains how things are found at the bottom and what they look like when they're found. And it's very cool, and the ambiance is very cool.
You've also recreated a portion of the ship's interior, and it strikes me that that's an interesting way to physically take people inside the Titanic, which obviously you couldn't do since most of the ship is at the bottom of the ocean. I mean, this is a way of giving people that experience without taking them to the bottom of the sea.
Yes, you see an example of a first-class cabin and a third-class cabin. The third-class cabins were fairly homogenous. You might have a four-bunk cabin, or you might have a six- or an eight-bunk cabin, but they were pretty standard. The first-class cabins, on the other hand, you can really only have an example because they were all different, and that's one of the cool things that I learned. They decorated them all in different historical styles. Could be a Louis XIV or Queen Anne style. They did try to keep the style such that the furniture would be rather small because for practical purposes you didn't want big hulking pieces of furniture aboard ship. Some of the cabins were incredibly luxurious with ensuite bathrooms, with bathtubs and showers. They were fancy. And the recreated cabin gives you a really good sense of that.
When it comes to the artifacts themselves that are on display, these all were taken from the actual wreckage of Titanic. Can you talk a little bit about how they're still in such pristine condition, some of them?
Well, that's another of the interesting things that I learned. You wouldn't really expect paper items to have survived because these things were recovered from almost 2.5 miles down. But the things that were inside of leather wallets, portfolios, suitcases, or briefcases, those survived. The tannin in the leather discouraged microbial destruction of the paper and the textiles. So remarkably well-preserved, these items.
That reminds me that one of the things that I've noticed about past exhibits at the museum is that you like to find topics that offer you an opportunity to mix history and science. And this seems like one that does that very well, because you obviously have the historical record of the Titanic, you have the historical artifacts from the ship, but then you also have an opportunity to talk about the science of how the artifacts do or don't break down, or the science of how a salvage operation can get down to the bottom of the ocean and bring the artifacts back up.
Yes, and we don't talk about salvaging because that's not really in our wheelhouse, so to speak. I'm just full of puns today. But we do talk. We have a lecture coming up towards the end of the exhibit on celestial navigation. So that's a nice tie to astronomy. We have a number of kids' activities, workshops, and different activities in the lobby where you can learn about buoyancy and what's different about salt water and cold water. What's the deal with icebergs? Why are they so dangerous? That kind of thing. So, we do have a lot of ties, and even ties to art. I have an art program coming up the second Tuesday in December on art in the age of the Titanic. And you'd think that'd be fairly straightforward, but as I work on the outline, I've got, there's art that was really famous from 1912, and 1911, 1912 were really seminal years in the art world, but also art depicting the Titanic, art that was actually on the Titanic, art that has been portrayed as having been on the Titanic but wasn't actually on the Titanic, and then art that was collected by people who were on the Titanic. And, you know, there were some incredibly wealthy people on board who were very, very influential art collectors. So that just right there is a great connection between different disciplines, and it's a very rich, rich connection there.
Anne, you've been living and breathing this exhibit for a while now. Is there a particular artifact or particular spot in the exhibit that still just really grips you, or maybe it's your favorite element that you keep coming back to?
You know, I am surprised by the thing that grabbed me the most. It is, there are only a couple artifacts in the room dedicated to the boilers in the Titanic. You walk through a recreation of a watertight door, and of course those were very important because it was billed as unsinkable. It had 15 watertight doors that unfortunately didn't go up enough decks to keep it from flooding, but you go through there into a room with a recreation of the gigantic boilers. Titanic had 29 German marine boilers, and each of the large boilers stood 15 feet tall and 20 feet long, had six furnaces on them. So there were 129 furnaces on Titanic that had to be stoked around the clock. And most people don't think about powering a ship like that. And the boilers didn't just power the propellers, but rather it also had its own electrical generator system. It had electrical elevators, and first-class passengers had electric heaters and electric fans and the wireless. And there's a tremendous amount of power being used on that ship. And the part I loved about that room is it tells the story of really the unsung heroes of the Titanic disaster. And those were the firemen who stayed at their post, continuing to stoke these furnaces so that the ship would have lights, because trying to evacuate that many people in absolute darkness would be impossible, so that the radios would have power to keep sending distress signals, to keep powering the pumps that slowed the sinking of the Titanic. And those were the people who really were the heroes. And it's great to have an opportunity to tell that story. And that's what surprised me. That's what I loved the most. And the artifacts in that room are part of an oil box, part of the engine, and just a great big old chunk of coal.
That's Ann Schmidt from the Peoria Riverfront Museum. She joined us to talk about their current exhibit, Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. It's on display now, and it continues through March 12th. Ann, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Jen.
You can kick off the holiday season tonight with You'll Like Peoria. The 25th annual holiday walkabout will begin at 6 p.m. with a traditional tree lighting at the Peoria Courthouse. The walk features over 25 businesses showcasing local talent to get you into the holiday spirit. For more information, visit www.peoriaevents.com.
And Illinois Central College is presenting the Second City's Dysfunctional Holiday Review. If you missed it in previous years, it's a mix of sketch comedy, music, and improv, all built around family and holiday situations that will be familiar to all of us. The performance is tomorrow night at 7:30 in the ICC Performing Arts Center in East Peoria.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit our website, peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.